Hi, so I'm going to talk about two models I've been working on. One that I've worked on in the past, one that I'm working on now with my supervisor, Niyash. So the two models are holographic cosmology and periodic time cosmology. Both of these have a will replace the inflationary period with a non-standard temporal structure in the early universe. For holographic cosmology, this is a non-geometric phase, which is calculated by a holographic dual, and the periodic time, it's by matching the end of the universe to the beginning of the universe. So for both these models, I had a model either constructed for holographic cosmology, or I constructed a model for periodic time cosmology, and I fit these two data using Cosmo MC. So holographic cosmology was originally constructed by Paul McFadden Costa-Skandaris, and for the work I've working on their two publications, a short paper that has the results of both the Planck comparison and some further analysis of the model, and then this, which talks mostly about the Planck data. So this particular model, so for holographic cosmology, we construct a method for comparing the early universe to construct a holographic dual to the early universe by constructing a dual QFT on the reheating surface. And this early universe can either be the standard inflation, which would produce a strongly coupled QFT, or if you have a weakly coupled QFT, you get a strongly coupled early universe, which is non-geometric and would require quantum gravity without this duality. We define the duality using a Wick rotation analytic continuation to use the existing ADS-CFT dualities and other similar ones in order to produce, since we do not have a DS-CFT dictionary. So because of how these are defined and because we don't have quantum gravity, for the non-geometric case, the models are defined by their dual QFT and the properties of their dual QFT. So for these cases, we use a supernormalizable three-dimensional Euclidean quantum field theory, which is not actually conformal, but has a generalized conformal structure. And these have a number of free par these theories of this form have a number of free parameters. However, we will use that generalized conformal structure to produce to give the form of the primordial power spectrum. This is a perturbative expansion. Like the original one, it's distinct from the traditional lambda CDM. So we do get different data, different parameters in comparison to data from lambda CDM. Although everything after the inflationary period would be the same. This expansion breaks down, the new expansion breaks down when this becomes large, which means if you have a large absolute value of G or a low L values. So when we fit this to data, we get best fit parameters look like this, where you see the tau is at WMAP level. However, this expansion is expected to be invalid around L is less than 20, given the value of G we have. So we remove the low L data, and there's a natural split in the Planck data set at L is equal to 30. And when we do this, we get a difference in chi-squared of 0.5, which means the difference between the two models is negligible. And the tau value has come similar to the Planck lambda CDM value. For periodic time cosmology, there are a number of cyclic cosmological models that have been constructed as alternatives to inflationary cosmology. We actually use something that's going to be slightly different, as I will show after this. But the basic premise here is to take a cyclic model and we're going to make it exactly periodic. This has been avoided for several reasons, for different reasons in different models. In the case of the Penrose's conformal cyclic cosmology, he just didn't want to, his stated reason is that he didn't want to consider the case. So we are actually using something somewhat similar to this, where the beginning and end time, the infinite future, and the big, what would have been the Big Bang, are conformally invariant, so we can conformally rescale them and then match the beginning and end. However, our desire in doing this is to use the periodicity to construct a constraint in the power spectrum. So what we were doing is, instead of the typical cyclic model or like an inflationary model, we are not diluting the power spectrum as the power spectrum as the universe expands. We are instead going to reuse the power spectrum as the new primordial power spectrum. Every other model, even the cyclic conformal cosmology, will dilute the power spectrum, but we're not doing that. And if we do this, we see that we can get here we're plotting the transfer function. This is actually the square of the transfer function. If we shift the large scales to the visible scales in the new spectrum, we see that these scales have not been modified much by matter in the previous cycle, and we get something that is approximately scale invariant with a red tilt, as you would expect from a primordial power spectrum. So we define this conformal, the conformal rescaling co-moving scales, that shift that you saw, by this parameter alpha. And then matter, the primordial power spectrum that goes through the matter, which produces a transfer function, and it gets multiplied by the square of the transfer function. And so if you do this each cycle, you have a fixed point, which looks like this, although we're going to approximate it by only this first term, because the transfer function goes to 1 at at high energies. This at low K values. This produces a repeating pattern, except after our approximation. And we can then take this model and put it into Cosmo MC. And we get, for the typical six-parameter lambda CDM model after the primordial power spectrum, about five sigma, so this is ruled out. However, if we add in a non-trivial dark energy equation of state, we get 1.8 sigma. Any other addition of other parameters doesn't help this, but adding in a W will get a decent fit, which is actually this red curve right here that you see. However, the big problem with this is we only evolve the transfer function to the present, which is acceptable for the six parameter, as we do not expect the transfer function to evolve anymore. But if we have non-trivial dark energy, it is expected to continue to evolve. So we'll need to do further analysis on that. So if we take this W, we get a W of about minus 1.024 for the periodic time model, although the tau has decreased a lot from what's expected, even though we do include the tau prior in our data sets.
How does that
affect the reanimation? Yes. No. I mean, it looks like it decreases here if we add in W for lambda CDM. However, this is actually, I do not know if this is quite the best fit, but because of some issues we've been having. But here it appears that tau decreases even for the typical lambda CDM, but I do not know why it's decreasing. Okay. I mean, I only have one slide left.
Okay. Why, you said even for lambda CDM, you have a more negative W?
I'm guessing that part of it has to do with the fact that we have not gotten the actual minimum yet. So the way I run this is I run Cosmo MC to get a distribution, and then I take the center of the distribution and run a minimizer in Cosmo MC to get a minimum value like this. If I do not do the first step, the minimum is not really to be trusted, and I've been having a few issues with the long chains for Cosmo MC, so this run might not be the absolute minimum, but be a local minimum. That being said, looking at the Planck paper, they do show that W can get pretty negative, especially if you have WA as well.
So this is not inconsistent with the Planck paper.
It's not inconsistent. Yeah. Yes. Yes. But it's not completely inconsistent. So this might just be a local min than the rather than the absolute min. So in conclusion, by constructing a holographic dual on the Reherding surface, we can get a non-geometric alternative to inflation, which if you remove the low L values, which become non-perturbative, can match the data as well as lambda CDM. And for periodic time, the difference requires a non-trivial dark energy to match as well as, or to match within an expected or about 2 sigma. It's still disfavored, but viable compared to lambda CDM. Yes?
Would there be obvious ways to change something about the periodic time proposal in order to make it fair better?
So the only thing I can think of is to have a more complex dark energy model, or just to see if we can extend. It might be if we manage to extend the transfer function to the infinite future, even this simple model dark energy might actually fix, but we do not know. We suspect that it might be better. The other thing is if we had a better model than just W not equal to 1 for dark energy. But as far as I can tell, any standard parameter change that does not involve late type time dark energy does not fit very well.
You can expand a little on why does the transfer function not evolve in lambda CDM now, in lambda CDM, but it would
with yes, it does not in the lambda CDM, but it does in WCDM. So part of that has to do with the fact, I guess, that there's approximately a zero speed of sound now for the propagations. So trying to think of how to phrase this or how to put this in words or anything. But so after the radiation-dominated period, unless we have a non-trivial dark energy, after the radiation-dominated period, the speed of sound of matter it drops of close to zero. So it's not possible for propagations to transfer. So it doesn't change anymore. I mean, if we have, and for lambda CDM, dark energy is just a cosmological constant. It's trivial, so it doesn't affect things. Now, I believe there is a little bit of change. I don't know if that's because it isn't exactly that is only approximation, or numerical error also can have effects too. But I mean, probably both those effects exist, but it within the expected Planck error, which is, I don't know, around like something like 1%, 3% or something. I forget the numbers. The present time transfer functions expect to be the same as the future.
Whereas
yes, that affects the dark energy will affect the dark energy will be affect the matter because it's no longer a trivial effect, so it is affecting things and it will continue to evolve. I mean, you can see where the effect of dark energy. So this is the transfer function with a trivial dark energy, and this is the transfer function with a non-trivial dark energy. So this dip is the result of that of the effect of that non-trivial dark energy. I mean, you can see the scales. Although this is shifted, but you can see that you have some scale. I mean, we suspect that this is going to continue, this effect, as time continues, but the current numerical analysis looking at it didn't seem like it did that. So I do not know if it's just because the intuition is wrong or if it's because I'm not doing what I expect in getting the numbers. But Yeah, so, well, it's technically camp at this point, but because you have to put in various, you get it at different redshifts. I can't get it into the future, but I can get it in the past so I can plot to see the effect of dark energy over time. But yeah, this is the effect. So it sort of constructs a dip at a specific point in the spectrum. So it would be around here in the spectrum that it constructs a dip. And then around here and around here, it's still about the same. If it's just to the present.
Let's thank the speaker.